Truth News Network.
In the flea market of political discourse, you found the hidden Rembrandt. TNN.
The Truth News Network.
And Dan Newman.
How much is a Rembrandt really worth? I wonder if I could sell myself. Well, then what could I do? I wouldn't have the money for it. Oh, well, another conundrum, and we have several of those to speak about today. Hi there, I'm Dan Newman. The Department of Justice has uncovered millions of dollars paid illegally to numerous Democrats. That's the topic of our story today. Who are they? Well, we'll get into that. Just sit tight for a moment. Most Americans don't understand the structure of the political election system. You've heard the term PACs and super PACs and their purposes for political parties. Each of our forefathers despised political parties. Several did, however, explain that parties in America were inevitable. Thomas Jefferson summed his feelings up when he said this, "If I could not go to heaven but with a party, I would not go there at all." Wow. Obviously, Thomas Jefferson didn't think much about political parties. Well, how did this mess all get started in the first place? The disagreements between different groups when the new United States Constitution was written led to the creation of political parties. When delegates were meeting at the Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia to change the Articles of Confederation, those were the original Constitution of the 13 colonies. The convention was split into two groups. Sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? The Anti-Federalists favored a small central government, significant autonomy for states. In other words, they operated pretty much on their own, and the continued use of those Articles of Confederation. The Federalists, on the other hand, wanted a stronger central government, less power to state governments, and the development of an entirely new constitution. Obviously, that sounds like today's Republicans and today's Democrats. In my honest opinion, the political process started an exhaustive and lengthy trip downhill in America after that. Political power was discovered to have significant benefits in wealth, energy, and control. The greed of men took over. We're not going to go into much else today regarding parties other than to bring PACs and super PACs into this conversation, just so everyone understands them. Let's define them. A PAC is Political Action Committee, a political committee that raises or spends more than $1,000 to influence the outcome of a federal election in one calendar year and is thus required to register with the Federal Election Commission, the FEC. A PAC may accept a contribution of up to $5,000 a year from any individual, but it may not receive union or corporate treasury funds. And then there's a super PAC. A super PAC is a political committee that meets the same threshold as any PAC of spending more than $1,000 to influence the outcome of a federal election and is required to register with the FEC. Super PAC is the shorthand for what the FEC refers to as an independent expenditure-only political committee. What differentiates a super PAC is that it may accept unlimited contributions from any non-foreign source, including union and corporate treasury funds. It may spend endless amounts to influence the outcome of federal elections through independent expenditures. However, it may not contribute directly to a candidate, and it may not coordinate with one candidate in making those expenditures. The contributions and expenses of a super PAC are publicly disclosed on the FEC's website, but you don't know who contributes to those super PACs. Donors on a personal basis are kept secret. And then there's one other group name that you never hear mentioned, and I want you to remember this one. Dark Money Group. A 501c4, that's a status given by the IRS. 501c is a not-for-profit. That's a social welfare group, or if it's a C6, 501c6, a trade association named after the sections of the Internal Revenue Code that grant tax-exempt status to those organizations. Sometimes referred to as issue advocacy groups, they can accept unlimited contributions from any source and are not required to publicly disclose who their donors are. 501c4 and C6 organizations may engage in some candidate election-related activities. However, such activities may not be the primary activities of those organizations. It's generally understood that a group's primary activities will not be considered engaged in political campaigns if it spends less than 50% of its funds electioneering. These groups may not contribute directly to a candidate either, but they may contribute unlimited amounts to a super PAC supporting a candidate. Well, the characteristic feature of all these is money in the form of campaign contributions. After all, this is America, where money's king. And in politics, cash is king, and cash is queen, too. Politics is all about money. The Bible says this, the love of money is the root of all evil. Money's not evil. It's the thirst and consuming love for money and people that allows evil to take over our political system. There certainly is much love and lust for money and power in the United States political system today. And with those, one always finds political corruption. And we have plenty of that. The last 12 to 16 years or so, it seems the nation has gone bonkers over partisan issues, dividing Americans into groups of voters. Those groups are built by political contributions of every kind. You know, ads and people handing out brochures, running television, radio ads, newspaper ads. It all starts with money. All that money has come at a high price, though. The divisions in America have turned tens of millions of Americans against each other. And it all began with the love of money. Money begets corruption. The Gateway Pundit reported on the news that Democrat operative and Robert Mueller chief witness George Nader was indicted for his involvement in illegal campaign contributions from foreign entities to the Hillary Clinton campaign in 2016. Nader was one of Mueller's top witnesses, and he is a top Democrat donor and convicted child molester, by the way. But there's more to that story. Attorney General Bill Barr on Friday, December 6th, indicted 8 individuals for illegally funneling foreign money to Adam Schiff, Hillary Clinton, and several Democratic senators. You heard those names right. Adam Schiff, Hillary Clinton, and several Democratic senators. Did MSNBC, CNN, The New York Times, Washington Post, any of the broadcast news giants tell you about it? Now, this is December 6th. It's a couple of months ago. You hadn't heard about it, have you? The list of the Democrat organizations taking this illegal money is astounding. Almost every Democratic state organization and many super PACs, including the big one called Priorities USA Action. Who are they? Well, let me tell you about them. Priorities USA Action is the largest Democratic Party super PAC. It was founded in 2011. It supported Barack Obama's 2012 re-election campaign. It was the primary super PAC supporting Hillary's 2016 presidential campaign. It focused mainly on high-dollar donors. And as of September 2016, it had amassed $132 million in support of Hillary. Well, all of the leading names in the Democratic Party took in this money, including Adam Schiff and Ted Lieu and John Tester and Cory Booker and Hillary Clinton, etc. The DOJ released this information this way. I'm going to read the entire release by the Department of Justice. Earlier today, it says, an indictment was unsealed against the CEO of an online payment process company and 7 others, charging them with conspiring to make and conceal conduit and excessive campaign contributions and related offenses during the U.S. presidential election in 2016. Assistant Attorney General Brian A. Binskowski of the Justice Department's Criminal Division and Assistant Director in Charge Timothy R. Slater of the FBI's Washington Field Office made this announcement together. A federal grand jury in the District of Columbia indicted Ahmad Andy Kawaha, age 48, of Los Angeles, on November 7th last year, along with George Nader, Roy Boulos, Rudy Dukerminijan, Mohammed Mo Diab, Ronnie El Sadi, Stephen Hill, and Thane Whipple. Pardon me for the pronunciation issues. The 53-count indictment charged Kawaha with 2 counts of conspiracy, 3 counts of making conduit contributions. In other words, it's pass-through only. It just goes to one place to be forwarded somewhere else. 3 counts of causing excessive contributions, 13 counts of making false statements, 13 counts of causing false records to be filed, and one count of obstruction of a federal grand jury investigation. That's how deep it went, folks. They had grand juries involved in this. Nader is charged with conspiring with Kawaha to make conduit campaign contributions and related offenses. The others listed above are charged with conspiring with Kawaha and each other to make conduit campaign contributions and conceal excessive contributions and related offenses. According to the indictment from March 2016 through January 2017, Kawaha conspired with Nader to conceal the source of more than $3.5 million in campaign contributions directed to political committees associated with a candidate for president in the 2016 election. Didn't say which one. Obviously, it would be Hillary. By design, these contributions appeared to be in the names of Kawaha, his wife, and his company. In reality, they were funded by Nader. Kawaha and Nader allegedly made these contributions to gain influence with high-level political figures, including that candidate. As Kawaha and Nader arranged these payments, Nader allegedly reported to an official from a foreign government about his efforts to gain influence. The inference there being, they were telling people in foreign governments, hey, we're going to have access to the White House. We're paying this money to the candidate that's obviously going to win, and then we'll be able to get specials and favors from the elected person in the White House. That indictment also alleges that from 2016 through 2018, Kawaha conspired with all of those guys, Bulis, Dekramenajem, Diab, El-Sadi, Hill, and Whipple, to conceal Kawaha's excessive contributions, which totaled then more than $1.8 million to various political committees. Among other things, these contributions allegedly allowed Kawaha to host a private fundraiser for a presidential candidate in 2016 and a private fundraising dinner for an elected official in 2018. The indictment further alleges that from June through July of 2019, Kawaha obstructed a grand jury investigation in the District of Columbia. Knowing that a witness had been called to testify before the grand jury, Kawaha allegedly provided that witness with false information about Nader and his connection to Kawaha's company. The other guys also were charged with obstructing the grand jury's investigation by lying to the FBI. Currently, Mr. Nader is in federal custody on some other charges, and we'd love to list here for you the details of all of those campaign contributions, how much, the dates, and who they went to. But the list is far too long for us to publish here. But don't fret. We have the list for you if you care to download it and read it on the page of the website with this story. And again, this story for you, just so you don't forget, is titled Department of Justice Uncovers Millions Paid Illegally to Numerous Dems. Who are they? And you can scroll down right at the spot that we're at right now in this podcast. There's a link. You can click on that link. It'll take you right to all of those contributors, the full list, all the information. You can read it for yourself, or you can download it, and it is exhaustive. It includes many of the people and organizations that you would suspect, but many more may surprise you. By the way, Kawaha donated over $1 million to Democrat PAC Priorities USA. That's that super PAC we told you about above that donated almost all of their money to the Hillary Clinton campaign. So who is this guy, George Nader? He's a Lebanese-American businessman and one of Mueller's star witnesses. He was charged in a Virginia federal court in July with additional child sex crimes. Nader was previously indicted June 3rd of 2019 on child pornography charges. According to a three-count indictment unsealed that Friday in December, that's December 6th of 2019, Nader was charged earlier in July for possessing child pornography and for traveling with a minor to engage in illegal sexual acts. Nader is accused of transporting a 14-year-old European boy to the U.S. for sex all the way back in 2000. We could easily, daily, publish a list of the political corruption of the day in Washington, D.C. They try to keep it all hidden, and I got to be honest with you, this story's been out there since December the 6th. I've not seen anything about it. I've not heard anything about it until in my research. It just happened to pop up, and I opened the court case, and this is what I found. There is far more than we can give to you, folks. There are far more than what we report that remain unknown. Now, about all this corruption, and political money that's floating around in the millions, tens of millions. Some people blame it on capitalism. Some blame it on too much power in the Congress, too much power in the courts, or too much power in the executive branch. Where does the blame lie for political corruption in our country? I can only say where it does not lie. It does not lie at the feet of the average working Americans like you and me, who live our lives 24/7, 365 days a year, working, raising a family, supporting a political candidate in a local race or maybe a state race or even a congressional race, making a contribution to our favorite local, state, or federal candidate. These people are not equipped to feed the corruption monster. You know, they don't have to worry about me or you writing a $1.8 million check to a super PAC and knowing that it's going to go somewhere specific. Political corruption comes from the same place that every other type of corruption lives, in the hearts of men and women who get swallowed up by a system that thrives on me-ism. That's a personality trait. It leads people to do whatever it takes to get all they want. And it doesn't matter what they want. They don't care, too, about the cost of their doing so. They don't care who it hurts, and they don't care what it costs. They just want what they want. It can be a hunt for power, for money, or even more money, for fame, for popularity, for acceptance, or to build one's self-esteem. None of those is corrupt in itself. Corruption comes when whatever of those things above or any others a person chooses to sell out to, it comes when they just adopt total abandonment of how any of their quests impact the lives of others and even themselves. It becomes really all about me. We have plenty of that in the U.S., and not just in politics. When you awaken today, you awaken to a realization that you live in a deeply divided and politically charged nation. It's unnerving to think there are those who will walk past you today on the street that if they knew of what political persuasion you have, they would hate you. Not just what you feel about politics, they'd hate you, and they don't even know you. Sadly, that's our nation today. Regarding all of the corruption, especially that exposed in the political contributions cash register game we mentioned above, there's only one way to stop it, and it requires three actions to be taken in sequence. First, immediately stop all lobbying on Capitol Hill. That means no congressional junkets, no jobs for family members, no inside stock tips, no trips on private jets, no paid-for conference attendances, no dinners, no weekends at the lake, and the list goes on and on. Members of Congress, if they wish to remain members of Congress, should do so knowing they will only receive their pay plus expenses for staff and office and travel, and that pay is controlled by current policies that Congress passes. And I got to be totally honest with you, it's insane that Congress rules themselves. More about that in just a moment. Two, we must install term limits. Our forefathers thought so. Their purpose for 2 years terms in the House was for everyday folks from communities to give up just 2 years of their lives to go to Washington to represent in legislation all those folks back home in their districts, their towns, and their cities. The Senate was structured to represent states, and they were not elected originally. They were appointed by each state. Our forefathers felt doing so would necessitate a bit longer time in D.C. to reconcile state issues into types of federal legislation. It wasn't even contemplated Congress would be able to vote themselves amazing pay raises, expense accounts, along with the ability to make serving a lifelong job in either the House or the Senate. Term limits will stop all that and force members of Congress to return to the noble vocation of politics, representing citizens in their states and districts. And the third and final thing, banish the ability of Congress to police itself regarding their day-to-day activities on the Hill. There's no accountability for their actions until election time. And members controlling their own compensation with no input from the electorate is the definition of insanity. There always has and always will be corruption in politics and elsewhere. But what we detailed above, it just scratches the surface. This all lies at the feet of the corruption monster. And we must send that monster packing. One more thing. The corruption described above and other types we have not discussed is perpetuated by a fawning media that takes 100% of their work content from a political party. Today's media is as corrupt as ever and may be more corrupt than the politicians they cover. And the only way I know to bring those who no longer report the news to their knees is to stop subscribing, stop reading, stop watching, and stop listening. And don't just quietly walk away and slip silently into the night. Let them know what you're doing. Call them, write them, email them, tell them what you're doing, and tell them why you're doing it. It's all about the money for them, folks. If they lose ratings, if they lose circulation, if they lose subscriptions, they're going to change what they're doing. It happens all the time. Don't think for a minute they care one bit about you. Uh-uh. Like illegals to Democrats are only potential votes, you to the media are nothing more than another statistic they can use to charge more for those ads and their commercials. That's all we are to them. Corruption. It is everywhere. Now, we will not concentrate on corruption. We don't do that. We've run several stories and podcasts about corruption specifically as it pops up. But I thought this one was so egregious, primarily because the numbers are just massive. But how many people are caught up in this? And we didn't even know about it. So it had to be purposely being hidden from you and from me. We're a ray of sunshine. I promise you, we're looking for stuff, and we're always going to shine a light on it for you here at Truth News Network. Thanks for being here today. I hope this day, Monday, is a great day for you, as is the rest of the week. Guys, don't forget. Ladies, don't forget. Friday's Valentine's Day. Be thinking about your special person, and don't wait till the last minute. I'll tell you this. Valentine's Day, February 14th this year, my wife and I celebrate our 45th year of marriage, and it's pretty darn good still. So those of you younger than us, it gets better. I promise you, it gets better. We'll talk tomorrow. Until then, have a great day. So long, everybody.
When you can't control what happens, you can control what you know about it. That means the truth. Dan Newman on TNN.
The Truth News Network.